Interested in seminary but don't think it will work in this season in life? Wesley Biblical Seminary offers flexible options that allow you to take classes live, no matter where you are. At WBS, we don't just educate people, we develop trusted leaders for faithful churches. It's time for you to respond to the calling God has on your life. Take classes from an institution that you can trust for a calling that will not go away. Learn more about your opportunities at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, everyone, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Wesley Wildman. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It is a beautiful day here in Tupelo, Mississippi. Over this past weekend, we were here in Oxford, Tupelo, or Oxford, Tupelo area, all within about 45-minute drive, and it was hot and muggy.
Yeah.
But it's to be expected because it was in June.
Yeah.
But surprisingly, yesterday and today has been high 70s, low 80s, and breezy and really,
it's been very nice. Almost like spring.
But as we say in Mississippi, and I'm sure other states in the southern and the south say it, if you don't like the weather, just hang on.
It'll change.
Just give it a couple days. So looking forward to the program today.
Absolutely. Fred Jackson is also in studio. Good morning, Fred.
Yes, enjoyed my morning walk. I go for a walk about 5 o'clock in the morning.
Good. Okay. Because you're
61 degrees.
There you go. I knew it was cool.
Oh, it felt wonderful.
Perfect, yeah.
Yes.
A little bit of a breeze.
Because we didn't have much of a spring, to be honest.
No.
So that's kind of spring-like weather.
Well, to Wesley's point, the prediction for about 3 days from now is a high of 96.
There you go.
So it was nice while it lasted.
Yes. That's right. Hey, it is June 12th. You guys remind me, because tomorrow's my anniversary. Do not let me forget this.
Okay. So writing it down now.
Yes.
Put that in the show notes, Adam. Adam's our producer today.
I actually thought about texting my wife.
To remind you?
Tell her, hey, happy anniversary tomorrow.
In case I were to forget.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I'd say, well, look, I remembered yesterday. So
I thought you were going to say you were going to text her to remind you to remind you of y'all's anniversary tomorrow.
No, because I want her to forget.
That's right.
I want her to forget, and then I get to put that card in the deck of things that I can throw out. If I forget something important, I say, well, at least I didn't forget our anniversary.
Uh-huh. Hey, okay, before we're going to get to some serious stuff. We got plenty of news to cover, but a quick question for you, marriage question. How long would you, if that card was available, how long would you hold it? And how long would it be usable?
Well, the problem is my wife holds so many of those kinds of cards.
The value of it's not really.
That's right. Okay. I throw that down. She can throw three or four down on top of it.
Okay. So
kinda
she
like
wins
a bad,
the card.
Bad hand of Uno or something. So
That's the only question I got. Marriage question I got for today.
And to be honest, this will be 43 years of marriage tomorrow.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And we actually don't do a whole lot for those kinds of events.
Sure.
You know, we wish each other happy birthday. We might go out to eat or something like that. That kind of thing, at least for us, just a long time ago, stopped being something you reminded the other person of if you forgot.
All right.
Anyway.
Ed has all kinds of stories like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How he goes all out for Christmas.
That's true.
What is it, a gift card?
We don't even get each other Christmas presents.
Yeah.
And this Christmas is now all about the grandkids.
That's right. At this point, yeah.
I will tell you this. This is sad. This is just a sad story. You know, I've been in the pastor for many years, and most of those years were not, you know, well paid.
Sure.
Okay. Kind of thing. And I remember one year my whole side of the family was going to Dallas for Christmas.
Yeah.
And my wife and I, we could get the kids Christmas, but we actually didn't have money to get each other Christmas. So this is sad and kind of pathetic.
Could you, Adam, turn up the violins there?
So violins. I gave my wife a couple of books off my bookshelf and had her wrap those up for me.
Oh, wow.
So we would have something to open because everyone was going to be opening presents. So,
take you back a little.
Yes. Yeah. So I know that's sad, folks. And I hope you all feel badly for my wife and I. Hey, I do want to make mention before we get to serious stuff. NBA legend Jerry West, dead at 86. He was my favorite player for years and years. And I actually was a Lakers fan till, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old because I loved Jerry West. Oh. And, of course, all my relatives were Boston Celtics fans.
Of course.
I switched back to the Celtics when he retired, Jerry West. But
what position did he play? I'm not familiar with him.
He was a guard, I think. He was he really was legendary. In fact, the logo for the NBA, that's an image of Jerry West.
I didn't realize that. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Well, if that's the case, yes, he is a legend, even if I don't recognize his name because he's before my time.
Right.
Could I recognize the logo for sure?
Yes, that's right.
Interesting.
So, wrapped up his playing career, averaging 27 points, 6.7 assists, 5.8 rebounds per game. Among retired players, only Michael Jordan, Wilt Chamberlain, and Elgin Baylor had higher averages. So, anyway, I saw that when I came in here to the studio on Fox News. So, anyway, that's one of those things where someone of note passes away. And, anyway, on to the serious news of the day, Fred.
Yes, under the heading, it was only a matter of time. And I would say if I had a dime for every time we talked about the possibility of what you're going to hear in this story happening, we'd be all very rich.
Yes.
Yeah. In the last 3.5 years, we have drawn attention to Joe Biden's open border policy on our southern border.
Right.
And not an exaggeration, millions have invaded this country since Joe Biden took basically any restrictions away. One of the major concerns has been for the last 3.5 years that amongst particularly the young men, we have noted a large percentage of those coming in are young men from all over the world.
Right.
The Middle East, from China and others. Well, the big news this morning is that we are learning that 8 people with Islamic State terrorist ties have just been arrested in the U.S., all of them crossed the border illegally, turned themselves in then to authorities at the border. They were vetted by the Border Patrol and then released. But due to the good work of the FBI, as they were tracking conversations on social media is what we believe, at one of the social media posts mentioned bombs. And that's when they really started tracking these guys. They are believed, all of them, from Tajikistan. They are with a terrorist group tied to a number of other incidents around the world. They were arrested, most of them in New York, some of them in Philadelphia, and some in Los Angeles.
One of the FBI agents that was interviewed about this, when talking about when they decided to bring him in, there was enough of what is it when they have a piece of audio equipment inside a place and they're listening in? What is that exactly called?
A wiretap.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. In the wiretap, they started thinking along the way they were just talking that them being the terrorists or tied to terrorism was that it sounded like another Boston Marathon bombing type of. The way they were talking, they started to tie things together like that, and that was one of the reasons. So if you remember back to the Boston Marathon bombing, those are the types of instances that can happen when you allow terrororists to come through your country.
Actually, a wiretap would be, I think, on a phone.
Okay.
But they would have other kinds of listening devices
Sure.
Inside. So
Retired Army Major General Dana Petard was on Fox this morning, and he said the obvious. This is what happens when the border is open. Cut four.
Yeah, the fact that these eight ISIS suspects got through a southern border really is a travesty. I mean, the good news is that the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force were the ones who detected them. They were on their radar overall. And then ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement Agency, was able to arrest them. So that's a good thing, that there's better coordination between our agencies. But what's obviously a travesty is the fact that they crossed our southern border, and we didn't detect that.
Well, less than 2 weeks ago, Christopher Wray was before a congressional hearing, and he had a warning at that time. We're going to play a little bit of this. He said what keeps him up basically late at night is the reality. He knew at that point that we had terrorists amongst us. Cut number five.
We've seen the threat from foreign terrorists rise to a whole nother level. On top of that, increasingly concerning is the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland. Not unlike the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia concert hall back in March.
So, you know, it's almost like, why are we shocked about this? This had to happen because of Biden's border policy. He has orchestrated an invasion of this country. You know, these are guys that were vetted, as was mentioned. We also have the gotaways.
Right.
On top of all the ones that have had some kind of processing at the border, we've got tens of thousands of the so-called gotaways who come in through an opening, do not check in with the Border Patrol people, and they're somewhere in the country. This is a very dangerous period. I think Christopher Wray was actually playing down his concern. It is, I thank God that these eight guys were picked up. But how many more of these individuals are in this country now, thanks to Joe Biden?
Yeah, I'm just a shout out to the FBI and ICE. We do like to make mention of the fact, even though we do have a problem with the Christopher Wrays and some of these others in the upper echelon of the FBI and the Justice Department, who seem to be generating antagonism, for example, against pro-lifers, so on and so forth. There are, we've tried to say this as often as possible, there are faithful men and women in the FBI who are doing all the grunt work and trying to keep us safe. So good on them for finding this. But it doesn't take away, Wesley, from the real problem. And I'm personally shocked that we have not had terrorist attacks in our country simply because of that wide open border.
Well, we have had, you talking about in the last year or two.
Well, like this gentleman was talking about the attack in Russia.
Yeah, okay, I understand what you're saying.
Bombings and that kind of thing. Or the Boston Marathon bombing.
Sure. Now, to your point, I do think though that we don't want to miss or forget though, while they're not terrorist attacks, we have had illegal immigrants that have come through the border who have attacked citizens individually.
Right.
And so that's also a big issue. Now, one question I would like President Trump, or former President Trump, to ask current President Joe Biden at the debate would be this one question. Would you take all of the known illegal immigrant violent criminals, and those that are associated with terrorists, organizations, would you take those, round them up, and send them back? Okay, because the reason I'd like that question to be asked, because most of the time when discussing illegal immigration, they always go to, well, you got them in cages, and these people,
right,
are looking for jobs or whatever. They've got these very emotional, and some are valid.
Yeah,
some are valid.
Right.
Some about being concerned about humanitarian things. I understand that. But let's just have a starting point. Can we all agree that if there is somebody here illegally and we know about them and they're associated with terrorism or they have already on the list for committing violent crimes that we shouldn't, that we can.
Or are gang members.
Are gang members.
Right.
That, and the reason that question is important is because when you see many times of these illegal immigrants that have been arrested, they have a long list of things that they have committed, yet they're still here.
Right.
So my point is, can we find common ground to take this group of people and send them back where they go? I'd like to know President Joe Biden's answer to that.
Yeah.
Common ground, right? You'd think.
You'd think that they would say, and I'm guessing you'd get a slippery answer.
Yeah, probably so. With some caveats.
Yeah, some caveats. And, of course, we're doing our best to. But when the real problem is, well, this is you've opened the floodgates.
That's right.
I just did a little, pulled out my little calculator on my phone.
Sure.
Let's say we conservatively estimated that only 3 million people have come across the border illegally since Joe Biden. And that's very conservative.
Very.
Very conservative. In 3.5 years, 3 million people. If only 1% of those were terrorists, that's 30,000 terrorists. That's stunning.
Yeah.
30,000 people who are terrorists in this country working together could bring this country to its knees.
Yes.
In terms of poisoning water supply, blowing up malls, blowing up bridges, attacks at Super Bowl games or playoff game, wherever people are congregated. It could be, power grid could devastate this country.
Yeah.
Just 1% of a very conservative.
Well, think of 9/11, fewer than 10.
Right.
Look did. Fewer than 10 terrorists. And these people are coming here trained to do this kind of thing.
What is it, 15,000? How many? 12,000 to 15,000 Chinese, young Chinese nationals, men.
Yes.
In this country illegally.
And they're showing up. They're spending thousands of dollars, or they're being given thousands of dollars to buy airplane tickets to Mexico City.
Yeah.
And then they're getting on buses to go up to the border.
Yep.
And they have, GPS to take them to that hole in the fence in San Diego.
Right.
And they're just flowing in there. And now, the latest story is when they're arriving in San Diego, this was just reported about 4 days ago. They get to San Diego, these young, mostly Chinese young men, and they're let go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're here's the question they're being asked. Where do you want to go?
Mm-hmm.
Sacramento, Chicago, New York, wherever the case. Where do you want to go? God bless you, go. This is what's happening. Listen, there is a day of reckoning coming.
It is.
A day of reckoning coming. And I'm talking about the election in November.
Yeah.
The question is going to be, are the American people going to act with the kind of concerns that we express, that many express? In fact, last night in Nevada, retired Army Captain Sam Brown won the Republican Senate primary there. And, state of Nevada, every state now is a border state, as they say. One of the first things out of his mouth in winning that victory was our border and how concerned he is. Cut number one.
Our country has been under assault from within and from without. The crisis on the border is totally created by Joe Biden.
Yeah, and he's right, and that's, the American people are going to have to decide, Joe Biden and the Democrats are out there trying to say it's Republicans' fault because they wouldn't sign a piece of legislation. Yeah. No. Yeah. Joe Biden, on day one, took away all the protections that former President Trump had put in place, and he alone, and his sidekick, Homeland Security, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, there, I said it for the day.
Yeah.
In my mind, both men should go to prison for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Here we are throwing people in prison for 10 years for breaking a window at the Capitol on January the 6th, not condoning that behavior. But look what they're doing to those individuals. Yet we have people responsible for an invasion of this country, and they're out there defending it.
Well, I think that it has been the work of FBI agents, like in this case with these eight who have been picked up, that it probably stopped some of these kinds of terrorist attacks. But you know when you just get a bad feeling, Wesley, mm-hmm. and you just go, I just have a bad feeling about this. I just cannot see. These people hate America. I'm talking about these terrorists.
Yes.
They hate America. Death to America. Yeah, death to America. These people aren't going to have an attack of conscience when they get here. Mm-hmm. They're not going to say, listen, I love my Starbucks in the morning and then running next door and getting Dunkin' Donuts. I think I'm just going to live it up here in America. No, they hate this country. You cannot rely upon them having second thoughts. The proper response to people who hate us is at least not letting them in the front door.
Yeah.
And that's what the Biden administration's done.
Do we have time, or is this a good transition to the story that we discussed this morning about the FBI security clearance?
Yeah, I've got that right in front of me.
Oh, perfect.
Some of the questions being asked, FBI agents have to update their security clearance. Mm-hmm. Here's an example of some of the questions being asked of these people now.
They're already FBI agents.
They're already FBI, but every few years right. They have to update their security clearance. Do you support Trump? Do you have skepticism over the COVID vaccine? Have you been to a gun rights event? These are questions, according to one FBI agent, he's been with the FBI for 12 years, updating his security clearance. These are the types of questions being asked. It leads one to believe that charges of weaponization of our justice system just may be true.
Yeah.
Well, it's obviously that's why those questions are being asked. Those questions are being asked because they are weeding out people who believe those things,
yes.
Who support Trump, who have questions about COVID, who support gun rights. Those are people who, if not released outright from the FBI, are certainly going to be put on the no fast track, you know, in terms of getting
moving up promotion.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, just for a minor audience here, I'm not sure exactly what we all think about when we think about FBI working for the FBI, but it's more than 15 people. It's more than 20 people. It's 30. It's around 35,000 people work for the FBI. So you will have a group that large, a variation of people's political views,
right.
Religious views, and all those types of things. And to show that they are taking so much so that they're asking these types of questions to weed out, to get 35,000 people with the same ideology they have versus being more concerned about their ability to carry out their task and to protect the country is pretty stunning.
Hey, listen, it's a legitimate question to ask. Is the FBI preparing to remove from its ranks
mm-hmm.
all Republicans,
yeah.
all people who support the Second Amendment,
mm-hmm.
People who don't, who refuse to accept everything that is said by the World Health Organization regarding pandemics?
Yeah.
What happens to the country if you have a monolithic FBI filled with left-wingers?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's terrifying.
Yes.
I'm not saying that they go rogue, but it seems to me that the intention of those who are asking these kind of questions, that's what they want.
Yes.
They want a small army of law enforcement officials who toe the progressive line. I use air quotes for progressive. That's scary stuff, man.
Well, you add to that the evidence that we have seen of the Justice Department sending agents into school board meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Parents being upset about transgender washrooms
mm-hmm. right.
and all of that sort of thing. About FBI agents surrounding the home of a pro-life protester with weapons drawn.
Yep.
I don't remember any Black Lives Matter people having their houses surrounded.
Right.
With FBI agents with weapons like that. So you add all of this up. You know, the American people may be excused for what happened in 2020, but now you've got almost 4 years of evidence
right.
of the political agenda yeah. of this current administration. So, folks, there it is. Election's coming. Elections have consequences. What you going to do about it?
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
All right, folks, when we come back, Alex McFarland will join us. I know our listeners love Alex. We love him, too. And he'll be on. We're going to be talking about some of the unbelievable things that are being said about the Jewish people. Folks, you're going to want to hear this, and Alex is going to respond to what at least one person said. I think it's kind of an ideology that's infected the pro-Hamas wing on college campuses. You don't want to miss that. We'll be right back. This June marks 2 years since the overturn of Roe v. Wade. But did you know that the number of abortions actually increased the following year? In 2023, the amount of abortions reached its highest level since 2012. Preborn continues to stand strong for women in crisis. Preborn is a ministry of compassion that showers women and babies with God's love, providing free ultrasounds to mothers to introduce them to the precious life growing inside of them. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she is twice as likely to choose life. $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation will also help to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. So please, give your best gift. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week, joined in studio by Wesley Wildman and Fred Jackson. And now from a hidden bunker in a remote location, Dr. Alex McFarland. Good morning, Alex.
Good morning, guys. It would be nice to be in a hidden bunker, but I've got a car in the shop, and I'm awaiting the number that I'll have to write in a check.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, and you know what?
We all have that, though, don't we?
Yeah, it's and the newer cars get, the bigger that number usually is, because the lots of little doohickeys and things that make driving a whole lot easier but can go wrong.
I can tell you one thing not to do.
Yeah.
And that is don't YouTube changing fill in the blank with your car, okay? If you're not a mechanic haven't done it. I joke because the other day I had to go get tires rotated, oil change, maintenance. I got about 90,000 miles on my truck, and they were due brake pads. Inspected.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere you look as far as about the mileage, about how long I've had it. And it crossed my mind, I could save about $100 in service fees if I did this myself.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, better not.
No.
Better not.
No. Listen, I went to a mechanic one time, and Alex, we will bring you back on the show here in just a second. But
that's okay.
And he had a sign up. He said, and it was the different prices. He said, the price if we make the repairs, the price after you try to make the repairs. I just thought that was pretty funny.
I hadn't seen that before.
Yeah. So, Alex, for those who aren't familiar, Alex McFarland, Dr. Alex McFarland, is co-host of Exploring the Word, heard Monday through Friday here on American Family Radio with Pastor Bert Harper at 3 p.m. Central Time. Alex, before we get to the issue we wanted to raise with you, that show is still going gangbusters, isn't it? I mean, people love to hear the word and always call in with a bunch of questions, don't they?
Oh, they really do. They really do. And we're coming up, I think my anniversary date for being with AFA is July 1, 2009.
Wow.
Meaning that, you know, we're looking at 15 years of exploring the Word.
Amen.
And God is so good. I mean, I give God the glory. Last week I was in the airport in Rapid City, South Dakota, and two people came up to me, two total strangers, and said, oh, my goodness, we listen to Exploring the Word. And what Bert and I do, we have taught completely through the Bible several times, and Wesley Wildman has helped us out. You know, periodically, Bert or I might be on the road traveling or such. And Wesley has sat in for us. Jim Stanley has, Jeff Shambly sometimes. But, you know, 99% of the time it's Bert Harper and myself. We teach through the Bible, then we take Bible questions. And it's heard, you know, 3 to 4 Central Time, 4 to 5 Eastern, and whatever time zone you happen to be in. And Ed, people have accepted Christ live on the air. People have recommitted their life to Christ. I mean, we've seen the Lord use it, and we completely give God the glory. But it does demonstrate that the power of just the Scripture. Nothing fancy, just two guys going through the Bible together.
Amen.
And the Lord has been pleased to use it, and we give him the glory.
Amen. Amen. And folks, for those of you who listen regularly to American Family Radio, we have a wide variety of types of programs, and we are not ashamed of the gospel, and that is why we have preaching programs, or in this case, Exploring the Word, just a Bible teaching program with questions and answers, because we know at the heart of our nation's problems, just like at the heart of our individual problems, is a spiritual issue. And the spiritual solution for the problems afflicting us is the gospel and the truth of God's word. Well, Fred, we do have a question that we want to discuss with Alex, get his take on it.
Yeah, Alex, everybody's aware that just a few weeks ago, there was a story every day about the protests taking place on our university campuses across the country. We're talking about Harvard. We're talking about universities in New York and Los Angeles and various places across the country. And it kind of took us by surprise. This was in the wake of the October 7th massacre of more than 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children. And almost within days of that massacre, there were pro-Hamas protests, supporters of Hamas on campuses across the country. Now, that main story has kind of gone away, but the protests in favor of Hamas and against Israel are continuing. And there was one last weekend in New York City. And I want you to hear a little bit about one of the protesters, what he had to say openly without apology about the Jewish people. Cut number 8.
Why are you killing people?
I wish Hitler was still here.
Go home.
I wish Hitler was still here. He would have won all your hours.
He was something worse. He would
have won all your hours.
I don't know if you heard it. You know, it was kind of a bad recording. But that man said, I wish Hitler was here. I wish Hitler was still here. This is absolutely amazing. Hitler responsible for the death of 6 million Jews in World War II. He wishes Hitler was around to do the same thing. Can you imagine for a moment that kind of hatred being expressed against any other group in this country? But that man felt very comfortably open with reporters there saying he wishes Hitler was still here. Alex, this is appalling.
Well, it's just unspeakably wicked. And the hatred against the precious Jewish people and the unwillingness to acknowledge the nation of Israel and their right to exist, their right to self-defense, which are just foundational principles of due process for any nation, the right to self-defense, the right to self-determination, and the right to exist. It illustrates the spiritual component here because, you know, the Jewish people represent less than 2% of the world population. And, you know, presently, and as you all know, through the centuries, there has just been this inexplicable, just unjustified, you know, inexplicable animosity against the Jewish people. Now, speaking of exploring the word, the Bible tells us in Revelation, the book of Revelation, that Satan made war against Israel because it was through the nation of Israel that Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and also according to Genesis 3:15, Jesus Christ who would crush and kill the serpent. So I support Israel unapologetically. I think all true Christians love the Jewish people. Jesus Christ, our Messiah, is Jewish. But, guys, I think the only way to understand, because it goes beyond politics and ideology, and it's irrational. I mean, the Islamic terrorists, Hamas, are the aggressors. The Jewish people are the victims. It goes beyond rationality, the animosity and the anti-Semitism.
And hate.
Just the,
there's hate.
The hate. And by the way, even the word anti-Semitism was a Nazi propaganda term to soften the brunt of the term Jew hatred. But let's be clear that anti-Semitism is Jew hatred, and that's wrong. And I think the only way to really begin to get our mind around the reality of this is the spiritual component, that we are in a world of darkness versus light, evil versus good.
Well, and you know, I absolutely agree, Alex, and you mentioned the irrationality of this. I'm reminded of the fact that on college campuses, now a lot of those protests have died down because it's summer, and all these people who are, I guess, feel so high and mighty, you know, they have vacation to go to and can't stick around to protest. But it was always stunning to see on these campuses, you'd have, you know, LGBTQ groups, you know, in favor of Hamas, and thinking, do you know what Hamas would do to you if you were over there? I'm looking at this article from the New York Post where I first read this. It shows the video of a black man saying, "I wish Hitler was still here. He would have wiped you all out." I want to know if any of his friends have told him that Hitler hated black people too. I mean, they considered black people to be subhuman. Hitler was enraged when Jesse Owens showed up the master race at the 1936 Olympics. How else can you explain this kind of irrationality other than to say it is rooted in a spiritual blindness that's demonic?
Well, you're right. It is a spiritual blindness that's demonic, and whether it be you know, black people or LGBTQ trans, or oh my goodness, the alphabet rainbow colored social justice warriors in the Third Reich, they would have been among the first led to the ovens of Auschwitz.
Right.
Let me mention an irrationality. Okay, last October the attacks happened, and 1 week later I was a part of two Stand for Israel rallies on Sunday afternoons, one in North Carolina, one in Colorado, and there were hundreds at the one in Greensboro, North Carolina, several thousand at the one in Colorado Springs. But students from my first alma mater, UNC Greensboro, came out, and I was talking, and they were pro-Hamas, anti-Israel. And I asked some of these students, I said, would you say that you stand for social justice? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I said, would you say you stand for the rights of indigenous people? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Indigenous people groups. So I said, well, regarding the land of Israel, you know, Muhammad was born in 571. Islam started in 610. At that point, when Islam started, the Jews had been in the land of Israel already for 3.5 millennia. I said, you're going to stand for the rights of indigenous people. There is no more indigenous people group on the earth than the Jewish people in the land of Israel. So why, when you're all about indigenous people, why not the most indigenous of all people, the Jews in the land of Israel?
What did they say?
But, of course, they looked at me with a deer in the headlights look. But, of course... being consistently rational is not one of the woke crowd's strong suits.
Right.
Alex, Fred here. I was reading an article the other day, maybe on Christian Post, where a poll was taken, and support for Israel and the Jewish people, even amongst those who describe themselves as evangelicals, particularly among younger evangelicals, it is has been waning. And more sympathy being expressed for Palestinians versus the Jewish people. What does it say about the obligation of the church to be teaching about this and teaching God's word and what it has to say about the Jewish people?
One of the callings, nay, obligations of the church is to teach the word of God faithfully, good hermeneutics. And let me say in Genesis 12, God promised Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And Fred, let me just say this. The best favor any president could ever do the American people is to be a friend of the nation of Israel. And folks, when it comes time to vote, there are only two questions you need to ask. Where does this candidate stand on life? And where does this candidate stand on Israel? And if you know where someone stands on legal protection for the unborn and standing with the nation of Israel, you'll instantly know where they stand on three dozen other issues. But about professed evangelicals' support for terrorism and support against or lack of support for Israel, I want to say this with love, but Reformed theology. And I know there are a lot of people listening that probably would say they are Reformed, but Galatians 6:16 contains a phrase called, blessed be the Israel of God. And where a lot of Christians, especially younger evangelical leaders with whom I dialogue all the time, but they'll say, see, the church is Israel. And without using labels too indiscriminately, there is replacement theology, the assumption that the church has replaced Israel. Let me say the church is the church and Israel is Israel. Now, there have been born-again Jewish people throughout history. There have been born-again Gentiles ever since Pentecost. But, guys, part of the church not supporting Israel when the church should support Israel is really due to bad hermeneutics, or at least less than ideal hermeneutics over the last 25 years.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well said. Our guest has been Dr. Alex McFarland, who's co-host of Exploring the Word with Reverend Bert Harper, heard Monday through Friday on American Family Radio at 3 p.m. Central Time. Alex, thank you so much for, first of all, for your dedication to preaching the gospel and going on college campuses where, as we have seen over the last 9 months or so, but really before that, the gospel is so desperately needed on our college and university campuses. Thank you for braving the hostility that I'm sure you find there, but thank you for what you do for American Family Radio and American Family Association, too. We certainly appreciate it, brother.
Isn't it a privilege to be a part of a ministry and a radio network that so faithfully, consistently, and courageously stands for the Lord Jesus and his word? It is the honor of my life to be on AFR every afternoon. May God bless you all, and may God bring peace to Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate it. All right. Well said by Dr. Alex McFarland. As always, he's just a wonderful speaker. And Wesley, you've worked with him.
And, oh, yeah.
And he is just such a brilliant man, is able to, with great intelligence, but also great compassion and spirituality, convey to very mixed up young people the truth.
And he also does it in two ways. He does it in a way that's very genuine and very simple.
Yeah,
very
right.
Genuine and very simple.
Right.
But now, God bless Alex, because now he's about to go take a blank check to the car dealer and mechanic, yeah. And who knows what's about to happen there.
Yeah, so. That's right. I've been in that situation many times and prayed, Lord, don't let this number be too large.
That's right.
And you know what? The answer usually comes In this world, you will have tribulation.
That's right. Because
the number doesn't seem to shrink.
Rains on the just and the unjust.
Yes, that's right. All right, Fred.
All right. Well, President Joe Biden is on his way to Italy. There is a G7 meeting there. And when he wraps up those meetings, we are told this morning he is coming back home and he's going to Camp David and he is going to be prepped for the debate, the first debate with former President Trump, which is coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's going to be a big night. And, you know, there's a lot of talk already, okay? This is live. They don't have notes. And how is President Joe Biden going to be able to perform? Apparently, he has already requested and been given his request that they sit down. Now, Trump has said, I don't mind standing behind the podium.
Yeah.
But apparently, the Biden people want him to sit down. There's also concern about what happened back a few years ago. CNN debate, remember who was given the questions in advance by a CNN?
It was Hillary Clinton, wasn't
yes.
it?
Yes, given the questions in advance by a CNN reporter. So a lot of talk about that. But a lot of talk about will Joe Biden be able to stand up without notes. Now, State of the Union is one thing.
Right.
You got the speech in front of you. But these are going supposedly, if it's fair, going to be questions from these anchors that both sides will have to answer. We know it's going to be a heated night. Will Joe Biden be able to stand up to that? It was very interesting this morning. They were talking about Joe Biden's mental state on Fox and Friends, and they referred to some comments that Dana Perino made on The Five, which is another Fox show in the afternoon. Dana Perino was the press secretary for former President George W. Bush.
Right.
And she's, you know, she is a good, solid anchor, but she took some time yesterday to really be thoughtful. She wasn't nasty against President Biden, but she has observed, as we all have observed, his mental state.
Right.
You know, his, at times, he seems not to know where he is, all of that sort of thing. And her point was this. The president, you know, the buck stops here. Things happen in the moment. Mr. President, there's been a terrorist attack on our embassy in Lebanon. What are we going to do? The president has to answer that question, not think about it for a long while. And she's raising the concern with, given what we have seen in the eyes and the behavior of this president, that he is not up to that task. So I want you to have a listen to this. It's about a minute long. And as I say, very thoughtful. Cut number 14.
Father Time is undefeated. Okay. And what I find alarming is that there is only one person empowered in our government who can make the major national security decisions that we need, and they have to be made on a trigger's notice. And I do not feel, watching him in the last several months, but in particular, even in the last 3 weeks, that you can have confidence that that would happen. So, for example, you're the commander-in-chief, and I say, I'm the chief of staff or the military aide or the national security advisor, and I said, sir, this is happening right now. What do you want us to do? Are you confident? Are you confident that he would be able to do that? I want him to be able to do that. I feel a lot of empathy for him. Mm-hmm. And I worry for him, about him. I don't want to get mad at him. I love the fact that people want to help him. It's a tight election. It will be. But I think everyone has to think really hard about this.
You know, we get lost. I'll speak for myself. I have forgotten at times that being a far more issue than anything else. And that's that his physical decline and all those issues as it relates to making decisions.
Right.
As a leader of the free world, as a leader, as a commander in chief, you know, making decisions like that. We look at it and we go, he's a president. He shouldn't be this bad from a cognitive standpoint, from a thinking standpoint, from a interview standpoint. But the fact of the matter is, when he's not on stage and he's having these gaffes, he's supposed to be making a lot of decisions.
Right.
And that has to be calculated in the voter's mind as we get closer to the election.
Well,
she couldn't have said it any better.
Yeah, no,
seriously.
She did a great job. And it is a good point. A lot of times we focus on the ideology that's driving the Biden administration. And we know in any administration, there's going to be a lot of staffers who have been hired to carry out the will of the person at the top. And so that has been mostly my focus when some new regulation comes out, or some new demand, or the one we talked about, I think, earlier in the week, by 2031, in terms of electric vehicles and the gas mileage has to go up to 38. I thought, well, I wonder which one of the members of the staff or someone at the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, drafted that, because I doubt Biden was in on that decision. But those are the kind of things you can talk about in a meeting. But to Dana Perino's point, sometimes things happen and the president has to make a decision. Yeah. Do you want to send in the Marines?
Yes.
Do you want to send in Navy SEALs? Mm-hmm. Do you want to launch cruise missiles?
Yeah.
And the guy making that decision at the top has got to have all his faculties.
Yes.
Or terrible things can be the result. So anyway, this debate is going to be, I typically watch all those debates anyway. This is going to be especially important coming up. That's 2 weeks from tomorrow, you said, right?
That's right.
All right. All right, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. You are listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Short break for news. We'll come back in 5 minutes, and Chris Woodward will be here to do the news.